We are living in amazing times, and we don't even realize it. We were all born into the reality of having Yerushalayim, of being able to go to the Kotel. And just like the air we breathe, we take it for granted. We can't imagine a reality of not having the Kotel. And because of that, we don't appreciate the amazingness, the tremendous awesomeness of the miracles that happened in our generation, what Hashem has done for us. For thousands of years, our great-grandparents and ancestors yearned and davened and prayed three times a day, every Birkat HaMazon, in their hearts all the time, yearning for the day when they would be able to go to Yerushalayim, to see the Kotel, to daven at the stones of the Kotel. And we live it. We walk it. We just go on a bus and we're there. I know that I also celebrated Yom Yerushalayim for many years. And I didn't fully, I don't know if I ever will fully, but I didn't fully connect to the depth, the awesomeness of what happened. And one year, I heard an amazing sikha given by Rav Benny Eisner, Zichron Livracha. He was a Rebbe in BMT for many years. He was a Rebbe of Rav Boaz and Rav Asher. Many, many people. He inspired many. He passed away not so long ago of cancer all of a sudden. He was a tremendous inspiration to all of us. So he lived through it. He was a soldier in 1967. He learned in Merkaz Rav. He was a student of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, the son of Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook. And he told over the story in such a way that I was able to really start understanding, connect to what happened. So I'm going to try to give over a little bit of his story and the stories of other people that I heard, to help us connect to what's happening. So this is what Rav Benny said. I was studying in Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Kook, and I felt very deeply connected to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. I always wanted to see what he was doing. And some days he would disappear from the yeshiva and scurry off through the alleyways of Yerushalayim, and I wanted to know where he was going. So I tried following him once or twice, and when Rav Tzvi Yehuda saw me, he turned around and he said, "Benny, you have to stay back." On Tisha B'Av, I saw him going off through the streets of the city, and I was determined to see where he was going. So I hid, and I followed him, and I discovered that he went to the tallest building, which was not so tall, a few stories tall, in the new city of Yerushalayim, and he climbed up all the stairs to the top, and he went up on top of the roof. And from the top of the roof there, he could get a glimpse of the Har HaBayit, a glimpse of the golden dome of the rock. And then he says, when I watched him there, it was as if his body was electrified. As if there was this energy coursing through his body, and I could feel his connection, the connection of a Kohen, yearning for the Har HaBayit, yearning for the Temple Mount, for the Beit HaMikdash. So deeply connected to the Har HaBayit that we didn't have and that we could not go daven at. Then Rav Tzvi Yehuda turned around and he saw me. And he said, "Benny, hine nishmat amenu. This is the soul of our people." A few years later, Rav Benny found himself drafted in the army. He served in Tzahal. And every Yom HaTzmut, he would go back to the yeshiva, Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Kook, to celebrate Yom HaTzmut. A strange thing happened. In the year of 1967, Yom HaAtzma'ut, beginning of May, Hey Iyar. Everyone's gathered in Yeshivat Merkaz Rav Kook, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda gets up to give his address, his sicha, to the whole yeshiva for Yom HaAtzmaut. And he begins speaking about the miracle of having a state, of the gift that Hashem gave us, giving thanks to Hashem for this miracle as he did every year. And then he says, to our surprise, to everyone's surprise, all of a sudden Rav Tzvi Yehuda starts talking about the events of 1947 and 1948. He starts describing what happened 19 years earlier, 1947. This is Rav Tzvi Yehuda. On the 29th of November, 1947, everyone is on the radios listening to the decision of the United Nations, the vote. Will there be a Jewish state? And they vote and they decide on the partition plan, there will be a Jewish state in Palestine. And everyone is up dancing for joy, everyone's streaming out to the streets, there's going to be a Jewish homeland, right? 2 years after the Holocaust, there's going to be a Jewish homeland, and everybody's running out to the streets, dancing and celebrating. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda says, I want to tell you, my dear students, what happened to me on that day. I wanted to go outside with Am Yisrael to celebrate. I wanted so dearly to go out to the streets. But I could not bring myself to leave my home because of the terrible decision. They decided to divide the land of Israel in half and give a thin strip to the Jews and to give the whole rest of it to the Arabs. To give away Hebron and Beit Lechem and Yerushalayim and the Kotel, to give it all away to the Arabs. They decided to divide my land, to tear it up. It was like they were tearing up Rav Tzvi Yehuda. I could not bring myself to go out and celebrate. They're giving us a state without Har HaBayit, without the Kotel, without Yerushalayim? What is this? Said, I felt like it was the terrible coming true of Yoel Hanavi's prophecy, Ve'et Artzi Chileku. They will divide my land. I couldn't. My connection to the Mikdash, to Kedusha, to the source of our life, to Makor HaChaim, to our soul. And then Rav Tzvi Yehuda started yelling, Ve'eifo HaChevron Shelanu? HaShachachnu Otach? Where is Chevron? Will we forget about you? Ve'eifo Beit Lechem Shelanu? HaShachachnu? Ve'eifo Yericho? Ve'eifo Shechem? Where is every step, every piece of our holy land? Could we ever forget it? Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, I was so torn, so broken, so shaken. I couldn't move. I felt like they tore up my soul. So I could not bring myself to go out and celebrate. Said a day or two later, my father, Rav Kook's Talmid Muvhak, Rav Yaakov Charlap, came to sit with me. And we sat together in Rav Kook's study, the small holy room alone. We couldn't even speak. We shook our heads. We looked at each other. We couldn't believe it. And then we stretched ourselves and we said, Me'et Hashem haitazot v'hi niflet b'einenu. We're stunned. We can't believe that this is how Hashem is bringing the Geula. We thought it would be Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Har HaBayit, the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not happening like that. It's not happening the way we expected. It's just a thin strip of land, Tel Aviv, Netanya. It's not happening how we expected. But this must be how Hashem wants it. So we'll continue with how Hashem is playing it out. That is what Rav Tzvi Yehuda said on Yom HaAtzma'ut of 1967. A few days later, Rav Benny says, all of a sudden I was drafted into the reserves. They're calling everybody up. There's going to be a war. What's going on? Egypt is gathering the entire army up to the border. Syria is gathering the entire army up to the border. And they're about to declare war on Medinat Israel. And they're promising that they're going to push the entire Jewish people into the ocean until the ocean turns red with blood. They're going to destroy Medinat Israel. It was actually a very frightening time. Because most people thought, there's no chance. There's no chance. Former Rosh Yeshiva of Shalavim, who was a Rav in Tzal at the time, Rav Avidan, who's going to speak soon in the Beit Knesset next door, he was the Rosh Yeshiva when I was a student there, he tells how he was a Rav in the army at the time, and he said all the Ravs in the army were busy digging graves. For weeks before, they're digging graves. Thousand graves. He said, there's going to be, the estimate was, there's going to be, the death toll is going to be so high, we won't be able to bury all the dead. American Jewry thought, Israel was a nice dream. It lasted for 19 years. And the joke in Israel was, last one out is going to shut the lights. So if Benny was drafted into the army, and they know war is brewing, they're just waiting for Egypt and Syria to attack, and that's it, it's going to be the end. But no one was expecting war with Jordan. Syria and Egypt were attacking, but no one was expecting war with Jordan. And the Israeli government sent a message to King Hussein of Jordan, don't attack us, don't get involved. We're fighting war with Egypt and Syria, don't get involved if you don't attack. We promise we'll leave all your territory of Jordan, Jerusalem, Hebron, everything, and all stay yours, just leave us alone. Because Israel was scared for its life. We can't possibly handle a war on three borders. Enough, the north and the south, the whole west, impossible. So King Hussein got the message and he agreed, okay, I'm not going to attack. So they thought, for sure, no war with Jordan. Jerusalem is going to be quiet. All the armies gathering, going down into Sinai, up into the Golan. I'm going to cut scene for a minute. Rav Goren, the chief rabbi of Tzahal, Rav Shlomo Goren, chief rabbi of Tzahal, says that a few days before the war actually broke out, he's in the chief of staff office, and he sees their Motagur, the commander of the 55th Division of paratroopers, devastated, holding his head in his hands. He says, Mota, what's wrong? What happened? He said, I can't believe it. I was supposed to go on a paratroop jump. We were supposed to paratroop my whole division down over the border into Egypt, and they canceled the mission. They decided we're not doing a parachute. They canceled my mission. What am I going to do? Everybody's going out to war, and I'm going to be sitting doing nothing. Hold that scene. Rav Benny is in the army guarding Yerushalayim for a few weeks. He's in southern Yerushalayim, Kiryat Yovel, and he says the war actually broke out, right, on 2 days earlier. And all the fighting is going on in Egypt, and all of a sudden, bombs in Yerushalayim. Jordan starts shelling in Yerushalayim. Everyone goes into a panic, total shock. We're not expecting war here. All the soldiers are down at the borders in the north and south. We're not expecting war here in Yerushalayim. What are we going to do? Kids are running through the streets. They have to go into bomb shelters. Nobody's ready for war with Jordan. All of a sudden, Rav Benny gets a message over the radio. That's it. You have to get the division has to gather. We're going to cross the border and go into Jordan. Go into Jordan? We're not ready for war. We didn't prepare for this. Well, what are we going to do? Right? So they tell them to go, and they have to, you know, it's all mountains all around. So they have to go cross the valley and try to go up the mountain. The Jordanians are firmly entrenched. They have bunkers. They have shell. They have bombs. They have guns. And our soldiers have to try to run up the mountain against all this enemy fire. It was an impossible mission. They said, that's what we're doing. So we start running. We're advancing. And We get past row of hills past Yerushalayim. And then my commander gets on the radio. He says, okay, where do we go now? And the message from the higher-up commander is, I don't know. We don't have plans for this war. Just go, 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 go. So Rav Benny says, that's what we did. We just started driving. So we go past Yerushalayim, and he says, we get to Beit Lechem. We get to Beit Lechem, and we're going through the streets of Yerushalayim, through Beit Lechem, and all of a sudden we see white flags. They're waving white flags at us. They're surrendering Beit Lechem to us. So we're driving through the streets, and one of my friends says to me, he says, Benny, we have to go into that house. So I says, why? We don't have to go into every Arab house. He says, Benny, that's Kever Rachel. We have to go into Kever Rachel. So Rav Benny says, I start running towards Kever Rachel. I'm holding my Uzi. I'm running towards Kever Rachel. And all of a sudden, a Jordanian tank turns the corner and is driving down the street straight at me. So I'm running face to face with the Jordanian tank. He says, I just have an Uzi. This is not fair. I didn't bargain for this. So what am I supposed to do? I can't turn around and run. The tank's going straight at me. He sees me already. I'm chicken fodder. So I grab my Uzi and I yell, Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi! And I run straight at the Jordanian tank. He says, instead of opening fire on me, tank against me, he says, the hatch opens up, all the Jordanian soldiers run out, and we take over the Jordanian tank. Then we go, he says, we then go into Kever Rachel. We go into Kever Rachel. He says, as I'm running into Kever Rachel, I see hovering over me a vision of my Rebbe, of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda is yelling, Ve'eifo ha-Beit Lechem shelanu? Ha-shachachnu? Did we forget Beit Lechem? Eifo ha-Beit Lechem shelanu? So I said, I'm running into Kever Rachel. And there's Rav Tzvi Yehuda yelling. And I'm answering Rav Tzvi Yehuda. I'm saying, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Lo shachachnu. We didn't forget. We're here. And I'm saying to Mama Rachel, I'm saying, Min I kolech mi bechi ve'enayich min dima. Stop crying, Mama Rachel. Stop crying. No more tears. Ki shavu banim li gvula. Because your children have come home. We're here. And we're here to stay. And when I hear Rav Benny telling the story, I think, how perfect that Rav Binyamin Eisner, the son of Rachel, who was born right outside of Kever Rachel, was the first person to go in and free Kever Rachel and daven there. Let's cut scenes for a minute. From here, let's go on. From Kever Rachel, the next day, so Rav Benny says, we drive on to the Gush Etzion, and we drive on to Hebron, and 2 days later we're at Yam HaMelech, and the whole West Bank is in our hands. How was Hebron conquered? So Rav Shlomo Goren, they said the chief rabbi in Tzahal, said, I have to be there when Hebron is conquered. So he got the plans of the army when they're going in to conquer Hebron, and he's on his way to Hebron, and he sees there's nobody there. So he gets in his head this fear. He says, what if the army went ahead of me? What if the army went in and they're going to be the first ones in Ma'arat HaMachpelah? I can't be. I have to be the first one in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So it's just Rav Goren and his Jeep driver. And he says, full speed ahead. We have to be there to get to Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Rav Goren drives into Hebron and turns out that he's the first Jeep in the army to get to Hebron. There's nobody there. And everybody's waving white flags out the window at Rav Goren. Rav Goren single-handedly conquered all of Hebron, drove up to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and conquered it. And went into Ma'arat HaMachpelah and davened. That was on the fifth day of the war. Now let's cut back to the most important scene. Yerushalayim. So Rav Goren was dreaming his whole life. For when are we going to get the Kotel back? Now to understand what it is to get the Kotel back, we need to take a minute to understand what we lost. In 1948, there were Jews living in the Old City. There was a Jewish community there. There were about over 2,000 Jews living in the Old City. And Jews used to daven at the Kotel. It was under Arab control. There was a thin alleyway, but Jews were allowed to go daven there. After the partition plan that we spoke about in 97, the British mandate said, okay, we're going to pull back, then we're going to divide the land, and that's it, we're pulling out from the Old City. And all the Jews that live here, if you come out with us, you have free passage. If you stay in the Old City, davchem roshchem, the Arabs will slaughter you. Go ahead, stay. And so we're closing the Kotel, no more Jews can dominate the Kotel, the Arabs are in control, and that's it. So on the day that they pulled out and that the Kotel was closed to Jews in 1947, the Nazir, the Talmid Muvhak of Rav Kook, took a neder upon himself, I will never leave my house until the Kotel is once again in Jewish hands. And from that day on, for 19 years, he did not leave his doorway. There's a shul in his home. People came and they made a minyan in his home. And he did not leave his house for 19 years. How could I leave my house when the Kotel was torn away from us? The Jewish community in the Old City struggled. From the declaration of the state when the war broke out at the beginning of May, they struggled for 3 weeks with 150 soldiers against thousands of Jordanian trained by the British legionnaires. For 3 weeks they tried holding on to the Rava Yudi, to the Jewish quarter. And 3 weeks later they were decimated. There was nobody left. They had no choice. They were starving. They were dead. They were wounded. They had no choice but to surrender. Of course, when they surrendered, what did the Jordanians do? They set everything in flames. The Churva Synagogue, which today is so beautiful with the dome, they blew it up, they burned it, they burned the Sifrei Torah, the Tiferet Yisrael, they destroyed all the Batei Knesset, they burned all the Sifrei Torah, they turned them into stalls for horses. And as the city was burning, the Jews that were left were expelled from the city. And Rav Getz, who was in the city at the time and later became the chief rabbi of the Old City, said, when I looked back that Friday afternoon, I looked back at the Old City burning, and I said, these are our Shabbos candles this Shabbos. That's all we have. The flames of the Old City. So Rav Goren, his whole life, is yearning, when are we going to get the Kotel back? So a few years before 1967, he's giving a speech, and he says, until reconquers the Old City, they've not done their duty. And Mota Gur, the commander of the 55th Division of the paratroopers, hears him, and he says, what do you mean? So Rav Goren said to him afterwards, after the speech, he says to him, Yerushalayim is the heart and soul of the Jewish people. Until we have it, we're not complete. And Mota Gur, who was completely not a religious man, said, you know what? I feel that too. I grew up in Yerushalayim. And Rav Goren said, I'm going to be the first one at the Kotel. And Mota Gur said, no, I'm going to be the first one at the Kotel. So they made a pact in 1962. They said, we'll be there together. So what did we say? In 1967, a few days before the war breaks out, Rabin, who was the chief of staff at the time, told Mota Gur, you're not parachuting into Mitzrayim anymore. Mota was devastated. Of course, a few days later, they were not expecting war with Jordan. What happened? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. They were not planning a war. Jordan said, we're not going to attack you. What happened? The Egyptians were so crazy, they put on the radio messages that we're winning the war. They put on all the news stations, we're destroying the Jews and we're entering Israel and we're almost up to Yerushalayim and we're destroying it. And when King Hussein heard that Egypt is winning, he said, well, I'm not going to miss out on the fun, I'm going to be part of it. So then he decided to join the war. Completely miraculously, Jordan entered the war. And because Mata Gur was left behind and not parachuting into Egypt, he was sent to Yerushalayim. So on the third day of the war, on the Tuesday, Mata Gur is already, you know, going through the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and he stops in the Rockefeller Museum. Rav Goren drives up to him on the third day of the war at the Rockefeller Museum, and he says, Nu, when are we going to conquer the old city? When are we going to get the Kotel? And Mata Gur says to him, bad news. Moshe Dayan, the Minister of Defense, decided we are not conquering the old city. We're going to capture the rest of Yerushalayim, but he doesn't want us to have the old city. It's going to be too dangerous. The Christians, the Muslims will be upset. The whole world will be against us. We're not conquering the old city. Rav Goren says, I tried convincing him. I told him, you disobey orders. You have to do it. So I can't. I'll be court-martialed. He said, I have higher rank than you, said Rav Goren. I command you to do it, and I'll be thrown in prison for it. Mata Gur wouldn't do it. He said, the only chance you have is to try to convince them to change their mind. So that whole afternoon, Rav Goren goes back. He makes phone calls. He writes letters. Morning, Wednesday morning, there's an emergency meeting of the cabinet, and they decide, okay, we're going to go conquer the old city. So Rav Goren says to Mata Gur, I have to be there with you. Rav Goren runs back to the house of the Nazir, his father-in-law, and he says to him, today is the day. You're going to daven, you're going to leave your house today. After 19 years, you're going to come daven at the Kotel. He says, I need your shofar. He takes the shofar of the Nazir, and he drives back to Mata Gur, and the paratroopers are running up the pathway up to the Shar HaRayot. And Rav Goren's holding a Sefer Torah in one hand, and he's holding the shofar in the other hand, and all the paratroopers are pressed up against the walls of the city because the Jordanians are on the walls of the old city shooting down. And Rav Goren is running straight. He says, I run straight through the middle of the road. I'm not hiding. I'm going B'Shem Hashem. He goes straight through the middle of the road. They go through the gates of the Shar HaShpar, all the soldiers on the side, they're yelling at him, Rav Goren, get to the side, they're shooting. And Rav Goren said, I'm not, I'm going Derech HaMelech, right in the middle, straight in the middle of the road. So they go through all the pathways, straight in the middle, and we get to Har HaBayit. He says, I wasn't in this world at the time. So I felt like I was floating. It wasn't me. I was floating. And suddenly I find myself on top of Har HaBayit with Mata Gur. And we say, this is it. This is the pact we made. And they go, they're the first two people in 19 years to go down to the Kotel. They go down together to the Kotel. And this is the famous clip that we'll watch now. And Rav Goren says, I look up over the Kotel. He says, my whole life, I never saw a clear sky like I saw over the Kotel those moments. He says, I could see the Shekhinah shining over the Kotel in those moments. It was like a clear Gilui of Hashem. And then all the soldiers start coming down after us. And it says, I start davening, Kel Malei Rachamim, for all the soldiers that just died in this battle. And all the paratroopers are there around us, and they start crying. And then I say Kaddish. And then we start davening, and then he says, I blow the shofar, and Mata Gur announces, Har HaBayit Bi'adenu, and he says, then I read this Daki, I blow the shofar of the Nazir, and I send the driver right away. He says, drive to the house of the Nazir, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, and should be the first two rabbis to come here and daven at the Kotel. And he says, I read out a declaration to the whole world that the Kotel is finally returned to Jewish hands, Har HaBayit's finally returned to the hands of the ancestral true owners, and we will leave it open to the people of the world, that everyone in the world should come daven here. And And he said, and then Rav Tzvi Yehuda and the Nazir get there, and we daven mincha. The first mincha at the Kotel. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda says about that mincha, that mincha was higher than any ne'ila of Yom Kippur his whole life. We'll now watch the famous clip, and then I'll tell you how Rav Benny Eisner ends the story. Someone turn off the lights.
Marking the 40th anniversary of the Six Days War, the wireless transmission carried by soldiers who broke through Jerusalem's old city continues to excite.
לוקחים את המוצב, סיוע אווירי, ארטילריה וכו'. סימפטי מאוד, עוד מעט, גם מזרח ירושלים
So as we know, in a week it's Shavuot. A week later, Rav Benny says, all of Am Yisrael is gathering in the Old City. Everyone's coming to the Old City for Shavuot. And everything's like very narrow alleyways. Thousands of Jews coming in to gather to daven for the first time, the first of the Shlosh Regalim at the Kotel. And Rav Benny says, I was there also, and then I saw Rav Tzvi Yehuda. And I ran up to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, and I said to him, Aval eich harav yada? How did you know on Yom Ha'atzmut? What happened that all of a sudden you were yelling, Efa Chevron Shelanu, Efa Beit Lechem Shelanu? And then I was there in Kever Rachel and I heard you. How did you know? And Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, Benny, lo yadati. I didn't. I didn't plan that speech. It wasn't written. I was just up there and suddenly it all came out. Nidbarti, Benny. Nidbarti. Hashem spoke through me. From all these stories that just astound me, Rav Benny and the Nazir and Rav Tzvi Yehuda and Rav Goren, it is so clear the Gilui Shechinah, the unbelievable miracles that Hashem did for us in such a revealed way in our generation. The least we could do is open our hearts to thank Hashem in the deepest, greatest way for restoring us to the soul of our people, to the neshama of Am Yisrael, the heart of our people. And for us to open our eyes to see the amazingness of the times we live in and appreciate what we have. And also to take honor upon ourselves that every single Jew in the world is connected to Har HaBayit. And we're lucky enough to be part of the few that understand that we have this connection. But so many Jews don't understand how their soul is connected to Yerushalayim, to Har HaBayit. And if Hashem is able to turn the world literally upside down for us in such a revealed way, imagine if we put in a little bit of effort, how much more of a difference we can make to bring more of our brothers to connect to Yerushalayim, to the Gilui of Hashem in our generation, and to Be'ezrat Hashem, Bizoche, to celebrate. As you'll see tomorrow, it's mamash, a taste of the Geula. You'll see all of Am Yisrael dancing in front of the Kotel. We could bring it one step closer, that Be'ezrat Hashem will all be dancing on the other side of the wall, inside on Har HaBayit together, celebrating the true unification and wedding between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. B'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Chag Sameach.